Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.
Well, good afternoon, folks. Welcome to Auto Central. My name's Tyron Woods. I'm the guest host on Auto Central today, powered by Auto Trader, your trusted motoring marketplace. In the studio with me today, I have Sia Sangweni Finn from Cliff Central.
Yay,
welcome.
I just clap for myself because there's no audience. I'll be my one man marching band.
That's fine. I'll clap for you as well. And the show today is we're going to be doing a throwback to a show that we recorded a while ago about hijacking and hijacking prevention. It's a show that Ville-Marie and George interviewed a gentleman by the name of Richard Brousseau, who is the founder of the National Hijack Prevention Academy. So just before we get into that, I just wanted to chat to you. The guys told me that you're quite a
Tyron,
skittish driver.
So. Maybe you didn't hear good stuff about me, so I'll set the record straight. I think I'm a great driver.
Okay.
So hence why I feel like it's a great privilege and honor, actually, that I'm being called onto, you know, Auto Central today. Because, you know, it's like a badge of honor.
100%.
But I just think on certain issues, I'm not the greatest.
Greatest, yeah. Well, first of all,
I'm mad enough to admit that.
Well, that's good. That's good. I must say, I class myself as quite a good driver. But I think
Do you drive a manual car?
Yes, I do.
You see, you already have one up on me.
I don't think so. Maybe you're just lazier than I am.
No, my friends were in the car with me recently and they described my driving as very Kardashian. I still don't know whether that's a compliment or not.
I think I'm drawing a blanker. I mean, I know they are, but I don't watch. I know my wife does, but that stuff doesn't interest me.
I think I'm good enough, but I just know that I need to brush up on certain tactics. You know, the reality of this country, and more especially Johannesburg, where we're based, is, you know, there certain things happen. Smash and grab is a huge thing. Hijacking is a huge thing. And I don't think I'm exactly up to par on that.
Well, 100%, which is why we're going to play the show that we played again. We had such good feedback from it. So, you know, if the guys do want to get involved with us, you know, on our social media platforms, you can get us at Auto Trader SA. And don't forget to use the hashtag Auto Central in any of your tweets.
Awesome.
We've got a team live. We'll chat to the guys immediately. And I think the reason we've gone back to the show is, you know, just pulling some stats from 2015. You know, it's a scary number, 12,773 carjackings. And over 1,000 truck jacks, and I just it being a father
is that in the entire year?
Yeah, that's
in South
the entire
Africa.
Year.
Wow.
Yeah. So you know, if you break that down, it's more than 1,000 a month, which is quite scary, you know.
And do we know what the quote unquote success rate is? How many of these cars actually I feel bad even saying successfully leave the owner, but are taken from the owner and. It's not a positive thought either way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not quite sure of, you know, how many cars land up in chop shops or you know, or where they land up.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a scary thought. And I think the show was so good because the information that Richard gives is just pertinent to anybody who, you know, who gets behind the wheel in our country.
Do you think the average driver in South Africa actually is aware enough or is resourceful enough to be prepared to drive on South African roads?
I don't think so. I think there's quite a bit of ignorance. I know I'm quite ignorant when it comes to that. I mean, I haven't been on any courses. I've been driving for over 18 years. You know, mm-hmm. I'm married. I've got two small children. I'm quite vigilant about where I drive and how I drive. And I think I do keep a watchful eye out on the road and kind of try and preempt if I see something that might happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know. You never know. So, yeah, I think more can be done. I think people should look into this. You know, prevention is... What do they say? Prevention is better than cure.
Better than cure.
And,
which is very, very right, though, because so often I find myself being caught up in just life. You know, you'll be on the phone. Yes, I am a safe driver, so it will be Bluetooth or wireless. You know, you're speaking on the phone. And as you're driving, you realize, oh, my goodness, well, hold up. I'm not a robot. There's some people who are selling stuff here. You never know if they genuinely are selling or not. But you have your phone on your dashboard, and that could be a trigger for them to actually smash and you know, take something there. But it's one of those things of you actually have to condition your mind to always be so aware.
Yeah, I think you've actually got to, sometimes you've got to switch off when you pull up at a traffic light or a stop street.
Yeah.
You know, I know I love listening to music in the car, so it's hard to switch off. You know, you're in the tune and you're grooving.
Exactly.
But, you know, the next thing something happens. So I just think, you know, be aware, keep a watchful eye out. You read up on what can be done. I know the National Hijacking Prevention Academy have got a website. There's there's information on there that you can read up on. And we just want to see safer roads in our country.
Because it is the little things at the end of the day. There are definite no-nos. So, for example, women who leave their handbags. I know I have three older sisters and a mother. I'm always preaching that.
Yeah.
Because that's just like an open target, so to speak.
100%.
Yeah, okay. So cell phones, I know. You see, aren't you proud of me? I at least know the bare necessities.
The bare necessities.
Here. Okay.
Definitely.
Is there a golden rule when it comes to driving at night? Are you allowed to jump a robot when you sort of feel unsafe, or
laws are there to, you know, to govern and to guide us. I know that if I've been in a dodgy area, look left, look right, look left again, and if the coast is clear, then, you know, my life's more important than, I'd rather get a fine, let's say, than lose my life, put it that way. So I think, you know, just be vigilant, and, you know, just take it easy out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say drive an automatic, so that
there's one less thing to worry about.
In a situation you may find yourself, you don't have to, you know, think about, what is it called? Clutch control. Changing gears.
It's funny, so that stuff actually comes naturally once you've been doing it. I mean, you know, it's something that you don't even think about, you know.
You see, people often say it's just like riding a bike. I can't even ride a bike, you guys.
How did you learn to type on your computer? When you started, it was probably one finger. Now you know where all the buttons are. Same thing.
Okay, true.
I got you there.
Thank you. Yeah, I have no comeback, and I hate that, actually.
100%. So guys, yeah, you know, tune in. Like I said, follow us on our social platforms, and we really hope that that you enjoy the show. We know that a lot of people got value out of listening to it the first time, which is why we're going to play it again. And thanks for listening.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.
I want to now introduce our guest, Richard Brusso. Very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Now, I mean, you have 20 years experience in violent crime investigation, over 8 years experience in compiling crime profiles on vehicle hijacking syndicates and their techniques, obviously. And you've done, since 97, over 800 vehicle hijacking scenes. So you've interviewed people and reconstructed scenes and all these things. So I mean, Richard, it's safe to say that you understand the topic of hijacking.
I think so, yes.
And hijack prevention. Now, this is a very sensitive topic, but yet so relevant. So where does this come from? How did you start all this? I mean, you must have a passion for this.
Many, many years ago, while I was in the police, I got called to go and do a driver training session at BMW Advanced Driving. I enjoyed the day tremendously. And as I left, I was offered a position there. So I was in a bit of a, you know, am I going to take it? Am I going to leave the police? So I decided to subcontract to BMW. But then after a while, I enjoyed it so much and I've got a passion for cars that I decided, no, I must go over. And then we started training people from a police point of view, how to prevent hijacking. Not necessarily where the cars go anymore, but how can I prevent this? How can I prevent from being the next statistic?
Now, that was, how long ago was this?
In 1997.
97, yes. And to now, can we give a quick shock horror statistic just to say how much it's increased? What are we standing on now?
Well, if you look at last year, let's compare 2013 to 2014. Yes. There was a 26% increase in vehicle hijackings.
Wow.
If you take the first 6 months of 2015, there's already another 21% upon 2014 statistics.
Now, if we're talking percentage, if we take it to numbers, are you able to?
Well, you look at Gauteng, for example, you take short-term insurance numbers, you're looking at about 14,000 vehicle hijackings.
A month.
Per year.
Per year.
Per year.
Okay.
But now you must also keep in mind is how many vehicles in Gauteng. We're looking at roughly about 5 million. So percentage-wise, or if you look at the numbers alone, it looks bad. But if you look at it percentage-wise, number of cars compared to how many hijackings, it's bad, but it's not as bad as what people always make it out to be.
All right. So now, what are the factors contributing to hijackings?
Well, if you look at factors, the negligent factor from the motorist, obviously, if we can stop fiddling with our cell phones, that is one of the main problems nowadays, the awareness factor. You know, if you take Friday afternoon, if I can ask you last Friday, who have you honestly thought of vehicle hijacking as you were driving home? You will only think of a crime like that if you've been involved in an attack yourself, a very close friend or family member. Maybe you're a non-South African citizen. You know, you've only been in the country for like 2 months. You're still very aware. Or the work that you do is in the security trade. Isn't it also funny? The closer you get to your house, the more relaxed you become. And 68% of the crime happen right there where you're at your most relaxed. Awareness, we're not aware.
And you say the hijackers know this.
Of course they know this.
How do they know it?
You know, if you look at a hijacker, for example, the only thing he has to work out is, how do I get the vehicle to stand still? If the car stands still, I can attack you. If you take Friday, more cars on the road on a Friday, traffic peaks earlier on a Friday, we tend to be more relaxed on a Friday. It is just very easy for him.
So it's opportunistic.
Correct.
Because I noticed on the graphs that that you have, is that a Tuesday and a Friday are the highest days?
Correct, yes. There are hijackings on the other days, yes. But I would say those 2 days, they are your peak days. You have to lift your awareness really on those 2 days.
But why Tuesdays, Richard?
A lot of people ask me why Tuesdays. I'll be very honest. You know, sometimes I'm embarrassed to say this. I've been investigating vehicle hijackings with all the tracking companies and the police for the last 18 years of my career. I do not know.
Oh, okay.
It's shocking to hear that. But if you look at it, you know, colleagues of mine come with stories where, remember, the hijackers are still drunk on Mondays. They do their paperwork. They do their scoutings and things. It's not the type of answer that convinces you immediately where you say, yes, Fridays are easy. But if you look at statistics in Gauteng, yes, on weekends they hijack. But remember, the 68% where it happens in a home driveway is difficult on a weekend for the criminal. Mm-hmm. He does not know when you're going to leave or come back to your house. In the weeks, it's easy. You leave your house between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning. You arrive home between 4:30 and 6:30 in the evening.
Yeah, you have a schedule.
Correct.
And they know.
So it's easy in the week. Mondays, yes, they hijack. Tuesdays are high, really high. Wednesdays lower, Thursdays even lower, and Friday hits its peak.
So 68% of hijackings occur in a driveway.
Correct, yes. Not necessarily your own home driveway, but there's a driveway somewhere in the story.
Okay. So, and it boils back to, goes back to what you're saying. They want to get the vehicle to slow down and stop.
Correct.
So that they can do their hijacking. Yes. Now, but on that topic, I mean, is there different types of hijackings that you get?
You do, you know, your hijacking where the guy will, for example, go for the cargo. He'll go for personal use of the car, body parts and spares, for example, they'll go for. But the one that's most concerning nowadays is purely taking the vehicle for body parts and spares.
Body parts?
Rotten scrapyards, panel beaters and on.
Where I just thought, this has become very heavy suddenly.
Body parts on the car.
Yes.
You guys would know this. South Africa, they claim, is between second and third place of the most vehicle accidents in the world. Now, if you take the number of people that fix vehicles, you know, your panel beaters and so on, the corrupt factor. How many of those guys actually, when it comes to the point, am I going to pay 80,000 rand to fix the Toyota Hilux when I can have one hijacked and have it standing in front of me between 18 and 20,000 rand? Mm. Body parts and spares, you can chop and change to your heart's desire.
And the common term for that is chop shops.
Chop shops, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, and but I mean, when we also say different, you referred back to cargo. Would that be more on the trucks?
More on the trucks, like your cigarette companies. Funny enough, your
fuel.
But a lot of the fuel companies, if you really go and investigate this, it's a lot of times inside. Where the person will, for example, have a colleague of his or a friend where he'll offload the fuel, then that person pays him X amount. He claims back from the insurance, so it's a win-win for both parties. You know, give me 6 rand a litre. I dump 100,000 litres. I make money out of you. I claim the vehicle got hijacked, and I make my money back from the insurance, my 12, 13 rand. So it's double win for that person. So a lot of these where the fuel especially gets taken, you have to really look at that case. There's a case within a case. But cigarettes is a big problem in this country. Yeah.
Now, sorry, just in light of that, I just want to know, I was just thinking here quickly, what percentage of that is of overall hijackings are actually fraudulent?
I would say in Gauteng, you can easily take about 800 of those cases away. Easy. Where the people claim they got hijacked for insurance purposes. Mm-hmm. Give me an
insurance
example.
Fraud, yeah.
A person 2 years ago got a nice job. He's a little executive at a company, drives a Golf GTI, example. 2 years down the line, he loses his job. Now, the last thing this youngster wants is to have a bad name at the bank. So before he starts getting into financial difficulties, you do get these youngsters, they get rid of the cars themselves. They claim they got hijacked, but the crime never took place. So I believe in Gauteng is high has about 800 easy.
Which is quite substantial.
That's quite a big number.
But now that pushes statistics up because how do you know how many were false and how many were true? Mm. We did a case once where a pastor, this pastor, yes, from church, he actually stole 37,000 rand from his own church, took ladies to Gold Reef City, and he claimed he got hijacked. So it's not just...
That's very sad.
Yes, it is sad.
So now, I mean, Richard, when you... Let me ask you this. Hijackings, everyone knows hijacking hotspot, etc. What kind of weapons do they use for hijackings?
Most commonly in a hijacking, they come with their handguns. You know, I've heard stories where they claim they use an AK-47 or so. AK-47 is a bulky weapon. That's more for cash and transit robberies, to force a big truck off the road, or you get your guys transporting the money and stuff. But normally, it's either your revolver or your pistol. They come normally in three, the hijackers. The
small.
Point is small. You can hide it on your body self. The point of the driver, the searcher.
And the modus operandi of the hijacker nowadays. I mean, what are the top three or four kind of methods that they use at your driveway, at a traffic light, boxing you off, etc. What are the three or four?
Most, as we already said, home driveways, they like to stop behind you, box you, and you've got no escape route. Traffic lights, where they'll either box you from the front, give you a little bump from behind, or the man is on foot. And then maybe at a parking area, even where they put items under your vehicle's wheels and so, or even at night, where they hang stuff from the freeways for pure objective for you to drive into it, make an accident. That's more to steal out of the motor vehicle. Even blue light techniques nowadays.
Yes, I actually read about that. So they're pretending to be police.
Correct, yes.
And then they hijack you.
What one must also remember is there's a 37% increase in house robberies, where they like to follow people home Friday afternoons after work, Saturday morning from the shopping mall, and Sundays even from church, driving your double cab buggies, your Toyota Hilux D4D, your Ford Ranger T6, Isuzu Amaroks. They follow you home. It's like a normal hijacking. They hijack you in your driveway. They force you inside the house. Now they enter your house onto the back of your vehicle, your TV, your hi-fi, your microwave, whatever the case might be. So hijacking goes over into house robbery, and that's my biggest fear.
Yeah, because now they're now in your space.
Correct,
so now it becomes more dangerous there. So the vehicle's not enough anymore.
You've been talking quite a lot about them following their potential victim. And so following seems to be quite a theme. And earlier on, just before we started, you mentioned filling stations near to on-ramps. Tell us a little bit about that scenario.
If you take every big residential area in South Africa, but I'm talking big one now, that near an off-ramp from a freeway has got a filling station within about 500 meters. Let me give an example quickly. I task you guys, I say, listen guys, I want a white Toyota Fortuner. Just an example. I want the vehicle by Saturday morning. You're not going to excuse yourself from the show now and say, listen, I must go and look for one. All you need to do is go to a certain area. The robbers know where there's a big concentration of certain model or brand vehicles. If you say Toyota or VW brand, that we go Centurion, we go Pretoria East. If you say, for example, Porsche, you go Bryanston Fourways area. They'll sit at that first filling station. Every filling station has got these little supermarkets nowadays. You know, like the little shops
quick
and
shops.
Mm-hmm. They sit there, they wait for their target vehicles, and they follow you home. It's as simple as that. How many white Fortuners will come past me this afternoon if we take the old Johannesburg off-ramp by Centurion between 4 and 6?
Quite a few.
300-400. Of the 300-400, how many are white in color? About 200. All I need to do is follow the person home, keep a distance of 70-80 meters. That's the type of distance that will not draw attention. Wait till you put your indicator on or you turn, box you in, and I take the vehicle.
So how do you notice somebody following you?
What I normally suggest is if you take the off-ramp, I'm not hammering on the Tuesdays and the Fridays, but especially those 2 days. The first filling station you come across as you've exited the freeway, on the off-ramp now, have a look at the filling station. Who's coming out of the filling station? Maybe 6-7 seconds later, just make a mental note. Check the center mirror again. If you now think somebody's following you, you know you've driven for 3-4 kilometers and you still see the car behind you about 40-50 meters. Before you start panicking now and driving around the block a couple of times, play with your indicators if you have to. You see the traffic light coming up. Indicate left. Move your car over to the left. What's that car doing? I want them to play their hand now. If the traffic light goes green and you go straight and they follow your lead, what more reason do you need? 90% of the time, the statement we get back from the victims is they came from nowhere. You cannot come from nowhere. You had to have come from somewhere. And they just wait, follow you home. It's as simple as that. Let me give an example. You sitting at the filling station this afternoon, you see a vehicle driving past. I see the left back corner of the vehicle. There's a child inside the car. The child's about 3 years old. I am the robber now. How do I interpret a picture like that? Mommy is on her way home. Mommy's picked up child at the creche. Mommy has not seen child for 9 hours. Mommy's not telling the baby to be quiet now. I want to look for criminals. Mommy's bonding with her child. From the off-ramp to your house cannot be more than 10 kilometers. What's mommy's awareness? Zero. First thing mommy says to me after the crime is, they came from nowhere. You cannot come from nowhere. You had to have come from somewhere. And they like to hang around the filling stations. They use it as a base and they operate from there.
So, Richard, I mean, so what you're saying is there's distractions.
Correct.
So you can have people in the cars, you can have kids in the cars are causing distractions. You've now already said cell phones can cause distraction. What else is distracting us from being aware of these things?
You know, I know we think of a million things while we drive. We get caught up in road rage and we look but we don't see anymore. But I want the people to start getting into a habit. When you drive home, at least about 2 kilometers away from home, focus on your surroundings. You know, if you've got kids in the car, I would say 6 years and older, start educating your kids. For example, when you get home, it's the child's task to say, Mommy, before we go in, the dog must say hello at the gate. You know, what we forget is, if you look at how crime is increasing in the country, when that child of yours is 18, the child wants his first motor car. If you can financially help the child, you're going to buy the child his first motor car. If we look at how crime is increasing, specifically hijacking, what's it going to stand at when the child is 18? Mm. So start getting the kids involved. I don't say scare them, but we have to start educating them.
So why you say the dog? Because if they're not there, then there's something wrong. Is you know that what you're saying?
Yes. I'm not saying big dog like Rottweiler or Bull Terrier. You know, if you have dogs at home, the reason why I would like to see the dog before I open the gate is for that dog to show me with body language there's no surprises waiting for me on the inside. Mm. If you have an automatic gate where you have to press the button, try and position your vehicle in such a way that you've got 3 escape routes. So you like stop like horizontal in the street. You've got escape route forward, sideways, backwards.
Okay.
Press the button. As soon as the gates open and you've entered, you want to enter, you want to stop your vehicle immediately. As soon as the backside of your car is in, you want to stop. Mm. The mistake we make is we drive in, we go and stop our cars. But that time it takes the gate to close allows them time to enter. Mm. And the deeper in you go, the deeper the criminal has to follow. My objective here is if anything goes wrong, let's limit this crime to only a hijacking. Let's not take it over into a house robbery. Mm. If something now does go wrong while you're waiting for the gate to close, do you now run towards your house as a safety point or try and get to the street as quickly as possible?
Yeah, that's a quite a valid question. I don't think the house would be a wise
one. It's easy now because we're in a group. We're discussing it now. It's easy for us now to say, but no, I'll go to the street. But when you're in a situation like that, it is as if your house calls you.
You go to safety.
You go to safety. Yeah. Where's the security gate? Where's the panic buttons and stuff? Get to the open. If they follow you inside the house, they've got time to work with you. Mm. And that's my biggest fear. In how many cases we've done where they take you, let's say on a Friday evening, they take one of your kids. They separate parents from kids. They take the child down the road, they go and draw your money out of the ATM. The problem now is when that little piece of paper comes out that says available amount, that sometimes tells the criminal, it gives them an idea for how long they'll detain you for. We've done cases where they've grabbed people on a Friday afternoon between 4 and 6. You know when they release them? Monday morning, 1 o'clock.
Oh my goodness.
So they've drawn money Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. It's my biggest fear.
And they're forcing you not to phone the police because they have your kids.
So I want to stop, have 3 escape routes, forward, sideways, backwards. Gate, see the dog, gate opens. Yes. As soon as I'm in, I want to stop. That gate must close immediately behind me. The deeper in I go, I'm pulling them towards my house.
Richard, I want to get back to the topic on kids in the cars. But we have a message here from Ryan who says, we bought a new Ford Ranger in March. It was hijacked 2 weeks ago. I had a tracker unit fitted. Within 15 minutes, these guys managed to find the unit, threw it out of the vehicle. The unit, so in other words, it was fined minus a car. This was from the blue light guys. Any advice on what we could do to avoid this from better tracker perspective as well? So there's two issues here in terms of, does the tracker really help? And then also, what are these blue light guys? Who is it and what should you do?
All right, let's start first with the tracking systems. You know, tracking system nowadays, I would rather have one in my car than not. But a lot of people look at this as a grudge purchase. I'm buying a car over 250,000 rand. The insurance wants me to put a tracking system in the vehicle. What I would suggest for today, for today's clients or motorists is, do your homework. Let the tracking system work for you. You must be able to log in on the internet and know exactly where the vehicle is at all times, especially with your kids. You know, child says it goes to X, but meantime the daughters want to go elsewhere. You want to, I'm not saying you're spying on them, but the day something goes wrong, I want to know where that person is. When you look at blue lights, our big problem nowadays is not in the evenings with blue lights. It's during the course of the day, like Friday afternoons between 4 and 6. It's not funny in Gauteng to have about 30 cases where they follow you with a blue light. The criminal's objective here is to find a reason to get you off the road. And that's when they normally piggy bank on the most common mistakes people make or the most common traffic law that people do not comply to, and that's people on their cell phones. Talk to anybody working for Vodacom, MTN or Cell C. Then you ask them, when is your cell phone frequencies at their busiest? They're going to all come and say Friday afternoons between 4 and 6. You're stuck in peak hour traffic. Now you see, you're on the cell phone. Now you see a car with a blue light behind you. Most people will pull off. They like to target upper class little cars like your new 3-class BM, your C-class Mercs, cars 300,000 and upwards. They also know your rep has laptop, cell phone, briefcase, tablet inside the car because they take stuff home to work on a weekend. The objective is to use the blue light to force you off the road. Mm. The law says clearly in South Africa you are allowed to keep on driving, but the law also says you must make your intentions clear. We also sometimes battle with a problem in SA where a lot of the young policemen are a little bit unsure how to interpret Article 49 of the Criminal Procedure Law. What I mean in layman's terms, when am I allowed to shoot? So the message you portray back must be very clear and very understandable. Now, you know, you're woman alone. You're driving 10 o'clock tonight. There's a car with a blue light behind you. You read the newspapers. You watch Carte Blanche. So you get scared. Mm. Now you start going a bit faster and faster. You're doing 130 in an 80 zone. I am a policeman. What am I starting to think?
You're running away.
So the message you send back must be very clear and understandable. If the speed limit is 80, I'll allow you 90. Put emergency lights on. Hand out the window. The law says clearly you are allowed to keep on driving. I do not say go to the nearest police station. You might not know where it is or it might be too far. Anywhere where there's people around, like filling station, hospital, fire station, if you select the filling station, I hear people give advice. They say you must stop in the middle of the filling station. I like the idea, but I normally like to try and get as close as possible to the entrance of those little supermarkets.
Isn't there cameras and things?
The surveillance footage is always the best at the entrance, even if you stop on the disabled parking. And take advice from me. I know the motorists don't want to do this. Be friendly. I know you are cross. I know you are upset. Be friendly. I'm sorry, officer. Because of all the crime, I got scared. I'm sorry. You defuse the situation. Mm. The problem SA motorists is they get aggressive. Do you know who I am? And I've got lawyer on speed dial. And you're just throwing more petrol on the flame. Just be friendly. I'm sorry. By law, you are allowed to keep on driving.
So the blue light guys are basically, they're just using a blue light to pretend to be police. And sometimes they would even flash their badge, apparently. Correct. So that's also not good enough?
No. Blue lights you buy at flea markets nowadays. Boxburg, Bruma, Zambesi. The average price goes from 485 to about 1,200 rand. You can buy a blue light. And we've also done cases where some of the policemen rent out their stuff to criminals.
Oh, my word.
So what is a bit shocking is where they go even further with the cigarette companies, for example, where they mock up a vehicle. So even we as policemen get confused. We're not sure, is this a real police car or is it not? That is scary.
So you basically, the best solution for this then is to go to where there's a petrol station, the nearest.
That's it.
Go as close to the camera section that you can, and then defuse the situation as best you can.
But it's easier said than done. You know, every case has got its own merit. So when I'm talking in general now, sometimes you're in a position where there is no filling station nearby. You know, what do you do in a case like that? If you've got a tracking system in the vehicle, press the panic button. Make contact with somebody so at least somebody knows what is happening right there now. Vodacom have got emergency numbers, the 10111 phone, make contact. The problem is we sometimes in deserted areas, you just pull off because there's a blue light behind you. Mm. Because we were taught if the police is behind you, you must stop. Mm. But things have changed then. SA, you are allowed to keep on driving.
So people should have those emergency numbers on them in a case like this. If they're unsure, then be basically proactive and phone so long.
I think it comes back to situational awareness and and knowing what to do in particular situations, which means we've got to think about it. You've got to think about it up front. You can't think about it at the point that it happens. We've got to actually think about it before it potentially happens.
But now part of the thinking, George, what you're saying now I think is very valid, because I also read somewhere, Richard, that you actually do courses on this, which again, I mean, we're always enforcing on the show, we're saying how good it is to do training, driver training, where this is just a different form of training, but surely so relevant, because it might help a little bit in that panic situation that you almost go into something that's familiar, then nothing.
Correct. Yes, we do a three and a half hour vehicle hijacking presentation where every most common used technique is discussed in detail. I'll give you an example. Home driveways takes me about 45 minutes to discuss. Then you cover house robberies, dog poisoning. When the dog's been poisoned, how can you help, for example, try and save the dog? Traffic light stop signs, that's another half an hour where every possible technique most commonly used is discussed in detail. Then we also do a short little practical afterwards where we do a mock hijacking. In the event of this crime taking place, how do I give my vehicle away in a non-threatening manner, making my body a smaller target? How to get kids out of the motor vehicle, for example? You've got two kids, and yes, it's about three and a half hours.
All right. I want us to chat, if we can talk on a review, but I want to get back to the kids in the car with the hijacking, what we can do and how we can prevent it. And if they do take them, what do we do? Chad, tell us a little bit about the Volkswagen Polo GTI.
Polo GTI, that was the vehicle we teased with it last week, and that's the vehicle that we're doing now this week.
Currently 189 on Autotrader's site, 189 Polo GTIs.
Oh, wow.
If you want yourself a Polo GTI, go visit autotrader.co.za.
Now, the thing is, and the niggle is, I don't think you're quite going to get this one just yet, because this is the new one. So this is no longer the 1.4.
But tomorrow, maybe.
This is... Yeah, no. Shortly, you'll be able to get one.
You guys are
shortly,
so quick.
But Polo GTI is a Polo GTI, right?
Some would say. But no, they are, yes, and they are available, and I think that this new one is going to ruffle a couple of feathers when it comes to the outgoing model. Actually, the outgoing model, I don't want to say outgoing model, actually, because it's still the same one. It's still the fifth generation Polo GTI, and social media had a little bit of a hoo-ha there. They were chatting to us, and they were like, what do you mean this is the fifth generation? This is the Polo 7. No. It was released at the same time as the Polo 7, as the Golf 7, sorry, but it is only the fifth generation of the Polo.
Okay.
And it's known as the 6R. So, yeah, there's a 5, a 6, and a 7 in there. But just to clear up that Mactan Malela, he was saying, what is the same as the fifth generation? Is this a Polo 7 or what? No, it's not the Polo 7. It is the fifth generation. So, it's still the same one, but they've updated it. They've done a bit of a refresh.
What is your update? What's the refreshing side of it?
Appearance-wise, let's start with the appearance. Appearance-wise, new bumpers front and rear. So there's a nice black rear diffuser, twin exit exhaust at the back. There's cherry tail lights as well. So now it's full cherry tail lights. You don't have the two-tone tail lights at the back there. There's also an integrated roof spoiler, and it's just been tidied up a little bit. Along the side, the previous model had a small little side skirt down it. Now it's got proper full flares, almost like a full body kit on it. Front bumper's been revised. It's got new headlights, full LED headlights as well, which are lovely and fantastic at illuminating the road. And it's a couple of little changes to the grille, and then on the fenders they've got some GTI branding. But that's not where the biggest changes are. Biggest changes actually come
performance
motor.
Yes,
we had the 1.4 TSI motor. Now there was a twin charge motor, which means that it had a supercharger and a turbocharger, 132 kilowatts, which is impressive from a little 1.4 liter motor. And it really was. I love that motor.
Rocket.
I love that motor, because driven nicely you're going to get the frugality of a diesel motor. Put your foot down and it's going to... Yeah, Duncan's liking this. Oh, he's nodding.
He's already searching.
He's on Auto Trader looking for.
Yeah, you see the 2015. It's a good looking car. That was making 132 kilowatts. Now, as I mentioned, 132 kilowatts is the same as what the last generation of the Golf 4 GTI was making from its 1.8 liter 20 valve motor. And then we were saying, wow, they've gotten 132 kilowatts out of it. I mean, this motor only made 110 to start with.
It just proves that turbo technology.
Turbo technology, and of course with the twin charging, you had the supercharger, which gave you fantastic low down torque and power, and turbocharger would take over later on in the rev range, so it was almost seamless. It was a beautiful, beautiful motor. They've updated it now so that it's a 1.8 litre turbocharged motor, It only makes a little extra. It makes 9 extra kilowatts, 141. Mm. Torque is still the same, and that's going to be where I'm going to come up with a gripe on the new GTI. DSG gearbox is limiting it to 250 Newton meters. They could make more, and they will make more, because there's a manual version coming later on in the year. Before the guys hop on the airwaves and say, listen, when is it coming, when is it coming? We haven't received dates just yet. All we've been told is later in the year. We're going to get the manual version. In 2015, okay. Yeah, in 2015, later
so
this year.
It's soon, though.
I mean, it's soon, yeah. I mean, we're already on the back nine, yeah. So it's 2-3 months away, possibly. Yeah. Or 3-4 months away,
it's
let's go
exciting,
with that.
Though.
And they say that the manual version is going to have 320 newtons. That's the same car with 70 more Newton meters so just because the gearbox has changed.
Yeah. What makes the DSG gearbox give it such limitation?
I don't want to say it's soft, but it does have its limitations. It's running it's a dual clutch gearbox, and the problem comes in with those clutches. So it's not the gearbox itself that's soft, it's just the operation of the clutches that will prematurely wear if you try and put too much power through it. And of course, they don't want that. They want a safety factor built in.
Mm. Wow. And I suppose the manual gearbox is
single straightforward clutch. It'll be a
directly engaged, and yeah. You put your foot down, and the power goes straight to the wheels.
Yeah, now you have VWS saying, okay, well, that 70 Newton meter difference there between the manual and the DSG GTR isn't going to affect the performance figures. They're going to stay the same. I'm sorry, what? 70 Newton meters, you're going to feel that. You know, it's like a small city Golf. That you're going to feel that power difference. Yes, I know the DSG box is quicker through the shifts, but anybody that knows their way around a manual gearbox is A, going to be able to get that car quicker off the line,
so
and it's going to be just as quick through the gears, and if not quicker, out of the corners.
The average driver, I'm not talking about you or the professional gear changer, but the average driver is going to do better with that DSG then, I think.
They're saying that it's going to be the same. They're saying that the performance is going to be the same. DSG, yes, it is convenient, but I would still believe, and I get a lot of flack for it, but I still don't believe that the DSG belongs in a performance VW.
Well, Chad, thank you for that. So, I mean, that's an awesome review, and it's something exciting to look forward to on the Polo GTI.
Well, the video is up if they want to go and take a look at it on the Auto Trader website, also on the YouTube channel, and we've shared it through the social media channels as well. So if you go and like Auto Trader on Facebook and go and follow us on Twitter, you'll be able to find the links there to the video.
And also on Auto Central page on Cliff Central as well, so you'll find the reviews there. So thank you for that. George, on the driving social topics.
Yeah, so on this topic as well, we got quite a lot of interaction with this Polo GTI, and the first one that I saw was the mention of the DSG gearbox. Max said, give it a manual transmission and see how faster it will be compared to this DSG. Well, you can wait till the end of the year and you can test it for yourself.
So he's on the right track.
Absolutely. And Ryan says, I still love my 35 edition, 177 kilowatts.
Yeah, Ryan is confusing his Golf with a Polo.
Okay.
Oops.
Okay. And Lindes says, a small car like Polo GTI is very expensive at 300,000 Rand. I better go for a Ford Ranger. That's a bit of a...
But I do agree. I do agree. This is coming in. This Polo GTI is now a little more expensive, but I do agree. This is now starting
price
to get very, very pricey. You know, they're introducing cars underneath it, so they're coming in with the Up and the Vivo and that type of thing, and they feel that they can inflate the price. You're looking at 326, I believe it is, for this GTI now, and that's a lot of folding metal, or 332.
But what do they have going for them mostly?
326 on AutoTrader right now.
They have how many, George?
I was saying that it's going for 326,400
Rand. There we go, and that's the 2015 one, yes.
Yeah, there's 15 of them on the site at the moment.
Okay, there we go,
So they've obviously taken the decision to up the price for a reason, but I mean, they have a following.
And that's why they sell, is the bench.
Considered reliable.
Golf and Polo have a massive following.
And it's a safe buy as well, because you do know that it's going to retain its value. And because of that... The manufacturers know that they can bump their prices a little higher. It is going to sell anyway. Mm. It's the reputation and the value behind the brand.
Awesome. So, guys, join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter at AutoTraderSA. And remember to use hashtag AutoCentral in your tweets as well. And if you have some comments on the Polo, by all means, give it to us. And on the next review, what are you reviewing for next week, Chad? I mean,
we've teased with the Golf SV.
Am I jumping the gun, or am I safe to say?
No. Golf SV. Yeah, the Golf SV is actually going to be out possibly tomorrow or Friday that we'll go live there. So we get a little bit of a teaser there. But then, yes, I have two other vehicles that I'm going to be reviewing over the course of this weekend, surprisingly enough, too. The one is already a bit of a shocker for me. I received it today, and I came here to the studio in it. And from the outside, ugly as sin. Inside, what a fantastic drive.
It's a mommy car. Well,
it is. But extremely versatile, and I actually feel bad that my initial impression was, good Lord, they've made it in prosthetic beige.
Okay, so tell us what you think of the outside and the inside compared to Chad's version. So they can, from today or tomorrow,
well,
on Auto Trader?
Well, I'm not going to mention the names of what I am busy reviewing, but okay. The Golf SV, it's in a similar vein, believe it or not. The Golf SV will be on the site, live on the site in a few moments' time. Tomorrow, day after, round about then. You can go and take a look for it there.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Chad. Now, Richard, now back to quite a serious topic with you. We were saying just now that it happens that sometimes kids are in the car. Now, what do you do in a situation like this when you get hijacked and your little one's in the back?
Okay, let's first start off with, let's say, roughly about 29,000 vehicle hijackings in South Africa. That's now trucks, delivery vehicles, everything combined. You're only looking at a number of about between 10 and 11 cases where kids were actually taken with. Remember one thing, the hijacker's objective is not to take the child with, because if he touches a child, especially if it's a child, it becomes a priority case. Every policeman, radio station, helicopter, security company comes together. Mm-hmm. You know, you leave your house between 6:30, 7:30 in the morning. You arrive home between 4:30 and 6:30 in the evenings. Police shift change. 6 in the morning, 6 at night. So everything, all the policemen are normally at the police station during the time when you get home. Everybody works together. If there's a child inside the motor car, a lot of parents actually like to go between the seats and retrieve their kids. I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, as we get older, our figures get fuller. It's not that easy to squeeze between seats anymore. If the child sits in the back, most parents place their kids left rear. I also do not have a problem with that. The problem I have is when people jump out of the motor car to retrieve their kids, they want to run around the vehicle. There's way too much time wasted, and this distance is just too big between you and your child. Remember one thing, you cannot save your child if you cannot save yourself. Save yourself first so that you can save your child. As soon as you are out of the vehicle, the door right behind you will open. As soon as that door is open, remember, take your right leg and foot. Try and step into the motor car if you can. The reason for that is you've transferred more than 60% of your body weight into the motor vehicle. My objective is to get connected with my child. If the vehicle moves and I've placed body weight inside the car, the vehicle will throw me where the body weight is. The mistake we make is we stand with our feet on the outside, bums in the air, we're not connected with our kids. Open the door, foot in the car, and you pull the child towards you.
Isn't it then as a preventative measure, better to place your child behind you, in that seat behind you?
I agree up to a point, but remember there's 100 times more vehicle collisions than there is hijackings. As soon as you put the child behind you, you're going to do the same amount of time and effort, because you're going to open the door in any case. You're going to place your foot in the car. The only difference here is you're going to have to stretch about a meter further. If you place the child behind you, you're going to start fiddling with a center mirror because you want to see what your child is doing behind you. So your concentration is not where it's supposed to be with your driving.
Okay.
So now, all right, but what happens if they don't give you a chance to grab the kid? Or can you actually negotiate? I mean, what do you do?
From a parent's point of view, it's natural instinct. It's motherly, fatherly instinct takes over. You will talk nonstop, my child, my child. The only time they will take a child with is either if they didn't know there was a child inside the motor car, the child was like sleeping in the back of the vehicle or so, or something unforeseen happens. While they're busy hijacking, a neighbor comes running across the grass with a gun. A security vehicle drives past the house where the hijacker now is panicking. Now he has to say, do I stand and fight here, or do I take the child and drop the child off where it's safe somewhere? They 9 out of 10 times like to drop the kids off where it's busy. Somebody finds child, notify the authorities, it falls back to a statistic crime. So you do get that very isolated cases where they take kids with, but it's not to harm the child. It's purely something went wrong. They want to get out of the danger area as quickly as possible.
So the key thing is don't panic and make sure that they know your child's in the car.
Correct,
that
yes.
You want them, and you're not wanting to hog the key. You'll give it. You just want the
child. Your child, yes.
Now, on a terrible topic, but let's take it to a little bit of a lighter note. You were saying before the show that it's not the hijacker's intention to shoot you.
No, it's not. If you look at just how you climb out of the motor vehicle, you know, 7 out of 10 men in South Africa are right-handed. You write with your right hand. If you take, for example, your big SUVs, we South African men, we like our buckies and our SUVs. That vehicle is high. If you go and you unlock your door or you, for example, undo the seatbelt, you use your right hand. But it's also the place where you'll place a firearm. If I scare you, one tends to get a muscle contraction. You know, so you're dealing with a youngster more nervous than you. He's got a lot of things to worry about. Has this car got a tracking system? Have you got a gun on you? What's that noise there? What's that sound there? So now you start dropping your right hand. If he gets a fright and that muscle contraction takes place, the trigger, the finger might be on the trigger. So what I suggest is you will hands up immediately, showing to him you no threat to him whatsoever. Mm-hmm. With your left hand, the non-gun hand, you will undo the or unlock the door. Most cars worldwide, if you take the door lever and you pull it once, the door unlocks. A second time, the door opens. When your left hand goes down to the seatbelt catch, be very careful pressing it. Now you lift the hand. As you exit the vehicle, remember, well, I have not taken my car out of gear, and you drop that hand. Most people in SA have jewelry on their left hands. It's a ring, it's a bangle, it's a watch. Even the buckle of your watch, the strap, is going to shine the reflection. Be careful dropping that hand too many times. If your left hand goes down to the seatbelt catch, you will drop it down once. When the hand is down there, you might as well yank up the handbrake or take it out of gear.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good advice.
Yeah,
I think
it's very...
you know, the moral there for me is remain calm. Don't scare the other person or the hijacker, and try and show him your hands most of the time is
correct.
What I'm hearing.
Just before we close, Richard, and thank you. This was really valuable information. Actually, there's so much more we can talk about to give advice on. But we will put some tips on social media as well and on Auto Trader SA. But one thing I just want to end up on, you make it clear. I mean, afterwards, there's trauma involved
correct.
In a situation like this. Should they or should they not get help? Because what is your advice?
I do believe you have to get help after it. So talk it out of your system. You have to get help, yes.
Professional help, because this could be, is it post-traumatic stress
correct.
Disorder, basically?
Yes.
So, guys, if this has happened to you, Ryan, with you guys as well 2 weeks ago, do make sure that you guys do get treatment for stress, because it hits you later. Am I
correct,
right?
Yes.
And how do the listeners get hold of you? I mean,
you can go on the website www.hijack.co.za.
It's a quite easy website,
correct.
And there you've got everything on your correct. Hijacking courses, information, everything.
Everything.
And I would highly recommend going. I've been on one of the anti-hijack or hijack prevention courses,
yes.
And it is worthwhile.
All right. Just quickly, Lindy, thank you so much for that lovely message on WeChat. Amazing show. Very informative. Richard, thank you for that.
Pleasure.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.